Politics, sports, entertainment? Yeah, we've got that. It's WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Mark Lawrence here at the anchor desk. And thank you so much for joining us. Very glad to see all of you on the radio. Rob Sanders got the day off, so we always appreciate his help and hard work. We'll still get the podcast going as soon as we are done with our interview. In the studio with us now, movie Mike McGranahan is here. He's a professional movie critic. His website is aisleseat.com. He's a staff writer for Ranker, member of the Critics' Choice Association, highly respected in the film critic. Rotten Tomatoes looks at his site before they do their postings. Is that true?
I'm a tomato meter approved critic.
Are you? Good for you. All right. Well, thank you. Yeah, they got to check in with him before you get the full tomato. And his appearance is always sponsored by campustheater.org. All right. We will start out with Fast X. Oh, thank heaven it's finally out.
The Fast and Furious movies have been extremely popular, grossing more than $7 billion worldwide. I liked the original back in 2001 and disliked every single one of the 8 sequels that followed. That brings us to the latest installment, Fast 10, and all I can say is, pigs are flying and hell has frozen over because they finally made one of these that I enjoyed. A big reason for the movie's success is the presence of Jason Momoa. He plays the son of a drug lord looking for revenge against Dominic Toretto, played by Vin Diesel. Killing Dom would be too easy, so he wants to make him suffer by going after his extended family. Momoa delivers a big, over-the-top, Nicolas Cage-type performance that's fun and often funny to watch. His plan gives the story personal stakes that were missing from the other installments. We get to see Diesel's character be afraid for once. Action scenes are typically preposterous, but they've been cleverly conceived. It's also cool to see Brie Larson join the cast, which also brings back Charlize Theron, John Cena, and Jason Statham. Fast 10 is silly, but it's silly in a really entertaining way. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 3 Tokyo Drifts.
Now, you have been missing the series all along. They've all been this good.
To me, they haven't. I mean, this one for me was made by Jason Momoa. He's funny in this movie, but he's also menacing. But I like the fact that he makes it personal for Vin Diesel's character. You know, most of these movies, Vin Diesel's Mr. Tough Guy, nothing phases me. Mm-hmm. He's afraid in this movie. And that's a really interesting dynamic. We've watched this guy be Mr. Macho for 9 movies, and now he's afraid. And that really made the whole story more interesting. It gave the action scenes more stakes. They do up the ante, as they always do. I mean, the final scene in this movie set at Hoover Dam is, you know, just absurd beyond belief. But I had fun at this one. I did not have fun at the other ones, but this one I did.
Well, I only saw the trailer, but it looks like the best one ever, with just the most going on and the most action. Although you'll never beat getting flying into outer space in a car with the space shuttle and then coming back to Earth re-entry.
So, that was a bridge too far for me.
Okay, I think you lost some tomatoes on that one. But so Fast X. What else? Other good characters. Take Vin out of it, and the other big fella, his name escapes me.
Jason Momoa.
Yes, Jason. Uh-huh. Right. Thank you. And everybody else supporting well there.
Yeah. Another thing I really like about it: Charlize Theron's character is back, and of course she was an enemy to Vin Diesel in, I forget which one of the other movies it was, but she's back now, and it's a friend of my. Or enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of situation. She and Dominic Toretto have to team up, even though they have grudges against each other. So that was really interesting, too. And then Brie Larson, who's one of my favorite actresses, comes in, and she's got a small role, and she's terrific, brings a little comedic humor to it. So, I really did not expect to have as much fun at this movie as I ended up having.
All right. The trailer starts out with a nice picture of their home. It looks like a normal single-family home, pretty well kept. I was just waiting for it to explode like it did in one of the other movies, you know. But all right, so Fast X, of course, only in theaters.
Only in theaters, yeah.
No 3D or anything like that for this particular film.
No.
All right, probably doesn't really need it. So, all right, fantastic. Fast X is?
Three Tokyo Drifts.
All right, fantastic. Thank you. All right, Kandahar, mini review. I would have to ask myself whether we need another Middle East war-oriented film, but apparently the answer was yes.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, the answer was no. Okay. If it's this one. This stars Gerard Butler, and here's a guy who just makes very interchangeable B action movies. It's hard to distinguish one from the other. In this one, he plays a CIA operative who's on assignment in Afghanistan. His cover is blown, and he has to get to Kandahar to an extraction site. The first hour of this movie is incredibly boring. It's just a lot of bouncing around between these different terrorist groups that are after him and government groups that are working to get him out. So it's very dull and confusing, and you don't get to know any of those characters. And then the second hour is just a routine chase movie. He's just driving across stretches of desert being chased. The movie has nothing to say about terrorism or anything like that. But there is an action scene in this movie that is filmed in complete darkness. You cannot see anything that's going on. So that kind of gives you an idea of how inept this movie is. It's just not very good. 1.5 stars for Kandahar.
1.5. Is that at theaters also?
Opens nationwide today, yes.
All right, in theaters. All right. Thank you for that. All right. Entertainment news. Tina Turner died. So, of course, the movie industry, the whole entertainment industry, feeling that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, everybody knows what an incredible singer she was. She had her resurgence in the 1980s when I was in the high school, college years, and that was when I really got into her, that private dancer era. So many great songs, but she also had a legacy in film. Of course, she co-starred as the villain in 1985's Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, played Anti-Entity opposite Mel Gibson. She was very good in that, clearly had some acting talent and presence. And for people who want to memorialize her this weekend, I would recommend a documentary that HBO had like a year or two ago called Tina, which is phenomenal. You really get to know her and get to know her story, her struggles, her marriage to Ike Turner, how she got away from him, how she reinvented herself over the years. All in a two-hour span, you get this complete portrait of Tina Turner. It's a terrific film about an incredible woman, the likes of whom we will probably never see again.
Tina is on HBO?
Yeah, it was an HBO film. So now they just switched. They were HBO Max, and now they're just Max. So I don't know if that's available still. You have to look for it. But okay. I think it can be purchased on DVD or maybe rented some other places, too.
JustWatch.com?
That's what I use to find out where things are streaming.
Go.
Yep.
Okay, yeah, they show you a little commercial, but you'll get to see where the films are that you want to see, what streaming service. Hopefully that would be up to date. It depends on see if Tina would be on Max or not. Tell me a little bit more about the Max. Just a name change or some other changes with that?
Yeah, name and philosophy change. It was HBO Max, but Warner Brothers Discovery is apparently trying to separate HBO from its streaming service. But initially, their idea was that they were going to put them together. That whole organization is apparently in chaos. Mm. A lot of bad business decisions. We know that they completely canceled a finished Batgirl movie. They've done some other things. They've pulled popular shows off their streaming services. Nobody quite knows what's going on over there.
Max,
but
okay.
Now it's just called Max instead of HBO Max.
Cinemax for a time?
Yeah, there's Cinemax as well.
Is that still out there?
Yes, that's a cable channel.
Okay.
But also owned by HBO, Time.
I got
Warner
okay.
Discovery.
Right, maybe they have a different philosophy. Maybe they're still in the black somehow or some way. Okay, well, it is almost summer, unofficially, and the summer movie season is starting. So tell us what to expect, what to look for in the big movies coming out.
I think this is going to be a really good summer for theaters, and I think it's going to be the start of, well, we've already seen the start of theaters rebounding, but I think that this is going to advance it. So many big movies. We have The Little Mermaid coming out today. That's projected to open to $120 million this weekend. Next weekend is Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, the sequel to the animated Spider-Man movie from a few years ago that, for my money, is the best Spider-Man movie ever. And then we got big ones like Barbie and Oppenheimer. There's a new Indiana Jones movie coming out. There's another Transformers. The Flash is from DC. Pixar's got a new one, Elemental. So these are all movies that should do really big box office. And then there's a couple of sleepers to look out for, too. The Boogeyman opens next week based on a Stephen King story, and the early buzz on that is that it's very, very scary. And then later this summer, we have Wes Anderson's new film, Asteroid City, that has an all-star cast, Bill Murray and Scarlett Johansson, Margot Robbie, one big name after another. And so I think we're going to see a nice balance this summer. It's going to be a lot of movies that are going to get people out of their homes and back into their cinemas, and I think that people will hopefully have a good time if these movies are good, but it will also benefit the theaters and make them feel a little more financially financially secure in the wake of this post-COVID struggle.
All right, so Barbie, when is that?
That is June, I believe. Okay. I forget the exact date on that. It opens the same day as Oppenheimer, so you're going to want to plan to make it a two-movie weekend. Those are going to be two really hot films.
Oppenheimer about our nuclear bomb race to get one going?
Yep, the new film from Christopher Nolan, the guy who did Memento and the Dark Knight series and Inception. So you know that's going to be an interesting one.
Any additional words about the Indiana Jones film? I think you said at Cannes it got kind of a meh.
Yeah, lukewarm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Cannes is funny that way. That comes out in a little over a month. You know, so many of us grew up with the Raiders movies, the Indiana Jones movies. I can't wait to see it. I think it'll have a big appeal for audiences no matter what.
Fantastic. Okay. And what will you see this week?
Today is the opening, like I said, of The Little Mermaid, the live-action / CGI version with Halle Bailey playing The Little Mermaid. She can sing really, really well, so I'm excited to see her performance. I don't generally think that these Disney classics need to be remade, but I'm looking forward to giving this one a shot.
You'll take one of your sons to that?
No, neither. One doesn't have the attention span, and the other's 14, so he's like, no, I'm not seeing that.
Oh, I thought it was the other way around. They probably neither have the attention span at this stage. So.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Movie Mike. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We'll see you in a week. Movie Mike McGranahan, professional movie critic. His website, aisleseat.com, and his Twitter handle, @aisleseat. And you can thank his sponsor, and that is, of course, the Campus Theater, Lewisburg, campustheater.org.